Hello and welcome to Nerdy Boys Reviews. We're your hosts. I'm Nerdy Boy Scott.
And I'm Nerdy Boy Christian.
This is your weekly nerd podcast where we review the new and old and nerdy movies. Explicit content warning, the podcast may not be suitable for all listeners of all ages. The material on this podcast has been deemed to be vulgar, rude, or sometimes even crude. So you have been warned. What up, my motherfucking nerdy beeps? What's going down, everybody? Everybody wants to be a cat.
Every time. What's up, people? Second,
what's up, party people?
This is our second podcast we're doing today of three.
Of three, dude. Yeah. That's three action-filled episodes of Nerdy Boys Reviews, brother.
Yeah, this is, what are we talking about? Aquaman. So, yeah, that's what this podcast...
Wait, is that the little fish man?
Yeah, he's the guy. He's not very little anymore. I think he's like... You know,
ooh,
just
he's big and bulging,
massive. Is yeah, bulging? What a fucking unit that man is.
I am a unit.
Yeah. So, you know, just warning you guys. You know, we always, you know, we always spoil things. So we're not gonna be holding back any punches on this, okay?
No holding back, no punches, brother.
Yeah.
And also, like you said, spoiler warning. So if you guys have not watched Aquaman, you know. Stop the podcast. What are you doing? Go watch it and then come join us for the fun.
Yeah. So on our New Year's podcast that's out alongside this one, you know, we did, you know, a little catching up with the Nerdy Boys, where the fuck we've been for the past month and stuff, you know.
Where the fuck did they go?
So just to follow up, right? I went to Chicago, right? And here's the thing about Chicago. Chicago is great if you want to visit, but it's just like, it's still not great to visit. Like, if you want to find your way around Chicago, you need, like, a personal guide. Like,
right.
Because, right, the first thing we do is we get there, go take the shuttle to get the rental car, right? And then we GPS how to get the fuck to our hotel. And so we're going up, and it says, turn left on such and such street. So I get to such and such street, and I get in the left-hand lane. And then it reroutes and says, in 3.3 miles, turn right. What the fuck? Where am I supposed to go? If I turn left, are you going to reroute me again and tell me to turn around, make you... And what it did, it told me to make a U-turn and go the other fucking way. And it's like, GPS does not work. I was continuously told to make left-hand turns where there is no fucking turn lane and nowhere to turn. So, like, I'd have to go to the end of a fucking long-ass street, make a U-turn somewhere, and find where the fuck I'm supposed to turn. GPS does not work in Chicago. Nowhere in Chicago. Right. And, like, Chicago's not just, like, one city. Like, there's a big city, Chicago city, but it's a bunch of little suburbs around it and stuff. Stuff,
right,
like
yeah.
Rosemont and fucking Schiller Springs. And guess what, guys? You know where the fuck I went? Elk Grove Village. You know, you go play, you try to type in Elk Grove and shit, it's always Elk Grove, Illinois, like, is on there. Yeah, I know where that place is now. And also, you know, some other things. So, yeah, GPS sucks. Traffic is terrible. Takes about an hour to go 15 miles.
10 out of 10, would not recommend.
Yeah, if you're going to go... Take the train there. Like, you can take the train almost anywhere there.
Just take
Uber
and
Lyft. Yeah, do whatever you need to do.
It might be a little expensive, but, you know, you should be planning for such expenses.
It is expensive, yeah. But, you know, depending on where you stay, it's probably not that expensive, so.
Right, yeah, and you can always just, like you said, take the train. I'm sure the train system is very efficient in Chicago.
Yeah.
Get you where you need to go.
Buses as well. I mean, buses there function at a high level, you know, like, compared to here.
Right,
like,
yeah.
Everyone takes buses in the Midwest.
In Sacramento, transit sucks. In LA, the transit sucks. Bay Area is actually pretty efficient with their transit system and their BART system.
Yeah.
And, yeah, that's what I mean by transit. So.
Yeah. And while I was there also, you know, one day we went to Wisconsin to visit some friends and like, I saw my dad and that wasn't awkward at all. So
awkward.
Yeah. But other than that, you know, things have been good. Do you have anything else you want to update our listeners on?
Well, like you said, we had a 2018 in review, looking forward to 2019 podcast where we really go in depth, like where we've been, you know, what we've been up to, all that good stuff. I think I said it all in that one. I mean, I'm pretty much just been working, you know, hanging out with my girlfriend, all that good stuff. But, you know, to cut it short. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
And I haven't really been doing anything too exciting. I mean, we turned up for New Year's. It was exciting. We had a good Christmas. I hope everyone had a good Christmas and a happy New Year's.
Happy New Year.
I totally forgot to tweet out on our Twitter account. I've been kind of lackadaisical on posting on there.
I posted a New Year thing on Twitter.
Did
you? Yeah. With, like, Batman.
Yeah, I prefer... I think Christian likes Instagram more, but I'm definitely more a Twitter user.
Yeah, on
Twitter. You guys should follow... Well, first off, you should follow Nerdy Boys on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, but you should also follow our personal Twitter accounts. Christian's not that active, I don't really think, but I'm super active on Twitter.
Yeah.
I think I'm hilarious. You guys should come follow me.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not too active anymore on most social media, but I do occasionally tweet. I tweeted yesterday. Did I?
Nice.
Friday. I tweeted Friday, 2 days ago.
I mean, so most of my tweets, I mean, I'll do like generalized tweets. It's not a whole lot to do with like Nerdy Realm stuff. But, you know, if you guys are really into sports and stuff, I tweet a lot about, you know, Manchester United, different football things, you know, NBA, really specifically about the Sacramento Kings. You know, and I tweet about other stuff, too. I think it's a good time. Twitter's a lot of fun. It's not, like, really stressful to me like other social medias are. I just don't keep up with Instagram. I don't take enough pictures for that nonsense. And then Facebook, I'm just like, I mean, I go on Facebook, but I don't really go on Facebook. You know what I mean? So,
well, in that vein, the tweet I put out on Friday is actually quite relevant to like a lot of things. It, even us, the Nerdy Boys here on our podcast, because, you know, we've been discussing, some kind of like ideas about how to make some fresh content and how to revise and all that kind of things, and you know, like really like get down to the essence of Nerdy Boys reviews, right?
Right.
And so what I tweeted was just quotes, like people's, like, I'm sure everybody's worked for an organization where your bosses have told you this because they're terrible bosses and terrible people, but they say do this and you say why, and they say that's the way it's always been done. That's the way we've always done it. Everybody's heard that, right? No matter where you've worked, you've heard that's the way we've always done it. That's not a reason to do something, right? And one of the things we did in college, I remember, one of my classes, we did this thought exercise, right? And you learn about the idea that just that you know, when someone says this is the way we've always done it, you think about where that started. And the example is, you put one monkey in a cage with a banana, and every time the monkey tries to get the banana, you spray it in the face. Every time, right? So the monkey's never going to go near that banana. Then you bring another monkey in the cage, and when that monkey goes for the banana, the first monkey will attack him, right? And say, don't eat the banana. And they'll say, why? Well, they don't really talk, right? But, you know, that monkey won't eat the banana then because it was attacked. And you keep reintroducing monkeys, and no monkey will ever eat the banana, and they'll all starve and die. Because that's the way it's always been done, right?
Right.
When you live your life or run your business in the way that we've always done it this way, so we're going to keep doing it, you stagnate. You never progress. You never move forward, and you never make yourself better, make your company better. You'll never go to the next level if you believe we should just keep doing what we're doing, and because that's the way it's always been done.
Well, I think the one of the best examples of that is like you think about like a mom and shop pop or whatever.
Right.
I mean, a shop.
Yeah.
Mom and pop shop. I said mom shop pop or something.
Mom and shop with your chocolate.
But anyways, you think about them, right? And they're whatever they're selling or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're refusing to move into the technology age and stuff.
Yeah.
Their business is going to die.
Right.
Because they are refusing to adapt,
mm-hmm,
and restructure. And they have the mindset of, well, this is how we've always done it. This is the way we want to do it.
Yeah.
Well, enjoy having your business plummet.
Right. Well, it's like change is scary for everyone. Like nobody's like out there like, I can't wait for change and whatever, you know. But like if you approach things with the attitude of, well, I'm going to learn something new that's going to be helpful, that's going to be better.
Right.
You know, like we love to do this like, with, you know, politicians love to do it with coal, right? Bring coal back. We need to bring coal back because all these people are losing jobs because the coal industry is going away. But we're creating thousands of new jobs in renewable energy. Coal is not going to sustain our world forever.
Right.
You have to move forward. It's something that in the economics world is known as beautiful destruction, right? Or beautiful creation or whatever it is. I don't fucking know. But essentially is we don't make wheels for horse and buggies anymore because we have fucking cars, right?
Right.
There's no horse and buggy industry anymore, which was a booming industry in the 20s because we have cars. Should we get rid of cars and bring back horse and buggies? No, because we're moving forward. We're progressing. We're bettering ourselves. We're not just saying, well, we've always done it, so we're going to keep doing it, right?
Right.
So that's the point. Well, me and Scott, we've been talking. We have to do some more talking, but we're going to make some changes, not major changes, but we're going to adapt And, you know, really distill the essence of Nerdy Boys Reviews to streamline it to your brain.
Yes.
So
we're gonna penetrate your brain.
Oh God. Yes, with our words.
Voices.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So anyway, we saw Aquaman, and we're gonna talk about that now, right?
Yep.
Woohoo. Okay. So Jason Momoa is pretty great. I like him.
Yes.
So first off,
did you like the movie?
I liked the movie. Yeah, I liked the movie.
Nice.
Yeah. My girlfriend just saw it yesterday, and she said she couldn't take him seriously in the costume, the Aquaman suit. She just laughed, like, thought it was funny. I don't know why. I don't know if that's, like, a woman thing or, like, a we-don't-read-comic-books kind of thing, which isn't bad. It's just, like, for me, you know, seeing the suit is, like, iconic, you know, and it means something. Yeah. And it's, like, you know, so when I saw him coming out of the waterfall, I was like, oh, yeah, buddy, holy shit. Right, like, that's fucking cool, you know. But, like, when she saw him coming out of the waterfall, she just thought it was funny, right? So, you know, a little, it's fun to hear other people's perspectives on things like
that.
Right,
yeah.
But, yeah, to me, I really like the movie, and I like Jason Momoa. I think he is the essence of Aquaman now, as far as, like, what the wide variety of viewers are gonna think, right?
Right.
So what about you?
I really enjoyed the movie. I think it was a huge step for DC in the right direction. You know, we have Wonder Woman, and now we have Aquaman is a good product. You know, the DCEU has failed on many, many levels, and that's not really what I want to talk about, but you do have to acknowledge it. But I definitely think this is a step in the right direction. I think it was something very different from what they did. I do have a lot of issues with the film, and I won't turn a blind eye to that, but this would be a movie I'd watch over and over again, put it that way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I thought it was bright. It was vibrant. The story works. You know, the pacing is great. You know, I just think so many things had it going for this film, whereas it, you know, before, under, you know, different, like, leadership and directions, you know, a lot of the DCEU films were very, like, they weren't cohesive. They didn't make sense in a lot of places. A lot of things very out of characteristic of, you know, the characters themselves, all these different things, and I just think they really nailed it. James Wan did this movie, right?
Yeah, James Wan.
I think he deserves a mighty firm handshake and a high five all around.
Yeah, I mean, and overall, right, you know, the movie isn't as bright and as funny as, like, the trailers try to make it out to be. Like,
I think it was actually quite, like, the vibrant tones of the film were very noticeable.
Yeah, yeah. Like, they're like, obviously, you know, like, It is filmed bright. It's not filmed in that Snyder, like, dark, gritty kind of
right,
way.
Right, yeah.
It is, like, just filmed like a normal movie.
You know? It's not filmed like in a noir sort of, like, dreary fucking setting.
Right.
You know, it has color. It has character. It has, you know, the good music to it. It has, you know, all these things going for
Even
it.
Even down to the suit. I mean, the suit, they could have darkened and done,
gosh.
Like,
the suit was amazing. Yeah. Dude, I love the costume design for everything. I do feel, however, some of, like, the Atlantean, like, soldiers, they were a little very overly uniform, and I think this stems down from the success of Stormtroopers, if you think about it.
Yeah.
You know, they're so uniform because there's so many of them, so you can't individually design. It doesn't make, like, economically, it does not make sense for a company to try and achieve that.
Well,
and you know, you understand it, right? And I love the costumes, but it almost just felt like very Stormtrooper-ish. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think on a broader, like, base with, like, Stormtroopers and just, like, armies like that,
right,
like, we can't associate them with humans. Like, we can't associate them with, like, people who have real lives.
Right.
Because then when our heroes kill them, it's, like, a huge moral thing, you know?
Right, yeah.
So, like if you just have a bunch of faceless people in an army and you kill a bunch of them, like, nobody blinks an eye. But, like, when they're actual, like, people with stories, with lives, like, you know, and I think that's why they work so hard to be like, oh yeah, they're clones, you know?
Right,
and
yeah.
And stuff like that moving forward.
I love the costume design. I think they're so sick. I think, like, the water under the helmet with the LED lightings inside was so cool looking.
Yeah.
I thought it was so brilliant the way they executed a lot of things. I mean, what did you think about the costume? Did you like them? Did you hate them? Do you think, you know, what
like? I like all the costumes. You know, I like how it's like almost like it's like a part of them. Like it's like
right.
scales, kind of like they're fish. Like it's kind of a part of them in a way.
Well, yeah, the different tribes and stuff too.
Yeah, yeah,
that was cool.
I like seeing the other like four different like kind of races, like you know the crustacean or like the crab people,
right? The more fishy looking people. Then you have like the actual Atlanteans,
right?
And then you had the what was the other house called?
I don't remember, but it was Mara's dad.
They looked all cool and. Yeah, there's a lot of things to really, really love about this movie.
Yeah, I mean, and I think this movie nailed like some of your biggest gripes with other superhero movies, which include training. Like you hate like when characters just like are trained like right away, like one training session, boom, done, right?
Yeah,
you hate that, and like they did like the flashbacks for, you know, how he's training at growing up, which a lot of people complained about the teenage version of Arthur Curry and said like he like didn't even seem like he cared or he wasn't acting or whatever, like the actor who played him. I don't know what the complaints were, like people said it was like cringeworthy performances and stuff, but
it's not
Jason Momoa, okay, so who fucking cares, right?
Right, it's a young actor, calm down guys, get off your fucking high horse. Like to see you fucking do better.
Right. So, yeah, they did the training stuff, and I know you love that stuff. So that already gets a thumbs up from you. And
right.
then the way they discuss, like, the history of Atlantis. And,
dude, I love that.
Yeah,
dude.
I know you
oh,
like
my
that
God.
Stuff.
I loved, dude, there's so many things I love about this film, dude. I think it was such a good film. I really do. Now, not to say that there aren't things that's wrong with it, and we'll get to that in a second, but... I love mythology. I love history. Just some things that I just love about films. You know, like you said, the training sequences. It wasn't one and done or one time outing that he struggled and then all of a sudden he's just a super badass guy, you know. And, you know, we get it. You know, fiction and fantasy, you know, heroes that are, you know, adherently like special.
Right.
They have higher ability capacity than other characters and stuff. But at the same time, when you play to that so much, it feels like lazy writing to me. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
I get it. If you're at like, if you're a special person, that's one thing, you know, but you still have to train in some capacity. You still have to learn things. And I loved that's where you're getting his, you know, skill at the moment. You know, maybe he's not as trained as, you know, King Orm and stuff like that, but you know, he's still up there in, you know, skill, and, you know, he had the training growing up and,
right.
you know, how to swim and all that stuff and how to, you know, do all the, you know, special things that comes with being of, you know, Atlantean bloodline and royal bloodline.
Right. Well, and the best part about it is the little foreshadow bit where, the guy training him played by Willem Dafoe, you know.
Oh God. He is such a good actor, dude.
Yeah.
He is like one of my all time favorite actors. I think he is, I don't ever remember seeing him in a bad role.
Right.
He's just so good, dude. He was good on Boondock Saints.
Good as Green Goblin.
Good as Green Goblin. I mean, there's the countless... Yeah, he's been in so many films. It's
It's
hard just to name them all off. But, dude, he is such a good actor, dude. He is so underrated.
Yeah. So there's, like, a training scene where he's, like, flipping his spear, you know, spinning it really fast.
Right, yeah.
And, like... Arthur's like, oh shit, how do I do that? And he's like, oh, you'll learn one day, like, you know, you're not ready for that yet.
Right.
And like then like they bring that back at the very end when he's fighting Orm,
right? Yeah,
because you know he's on land, like he's playing to his strengths at that point,
right?
On land. So like I really like how they tie that in. Yeah, the movie to me like isn't like, it's not like a Marvel movie, like in the, it's not overtly funny. There are very funny bits, but it's not like,
right.
it's not like jokes a lot. It is like some jokes and, but overall, like it's not like, you know, like when you watch the trailers, like, oh, they're just trying to like do some kind of Marvel things. Right.
Right.
But then when you watch the movie, I don't think so. I think this movie is very distinct in what it does and what it's trying to do.
Right. Yeah. It definitely had a clear like plan of attack and they stuck to it. And I think they executed it brilliantly. I think, you know, it's very easy to do comparisons, you know, when, you know, you're trying to compare and, you know, it's fair, you know, and I kind of got on you in the last podcast about, you know, making the comparison of it. And like, I understand, you know, it helps, you know, the audience kind of draw like some sort of like connection or understanding to like what we're talking about. So I guess, you know, in a way you can say with like the settings and like the colorful nature and stuff, in that way it's very like, you know, Thor, Ragnarok.
I almost compare the story more to the first Thor movie. But when you scratch the surface too much, no, but like there are broad based comparisons between Arthur Curry and Thor, like both being misplaced, having to prove they're worthy, having their brother trying to like take the throne, even though like technically, like, you know, when you scratch the surface, you're like, well, Loki, you know, is not really at all like Orm. Orm is born there. He is like the king technically until Arthur comes back. Right.
Well, I guess, but, like, you know, like broad strokes. Yeah. But then you almost have to like switch places.
Yeah.
With certain things. Yeah. Like, technically, you know, outside of the evil nature, Arthur is technically more like Loki than Thor.
Right.
You know, his good natured and good heart and stuff is like Thor. But, like, the place of, like, their, you know, their place in life is technically Thor is more like Orm and Loki's more like Aquaman, if you're really thinking about it that way.
Yeah, yeah. If you look like, you know, in certain, but in other aspects where, you know, like, just simply they're both kind of outcasts from their home. And have to prove their worth. Right. Like, you know, the spear the trident's kind of like Mjolnir.
But he's not an outcast. He just was never born into that life. And then furthermore decided to stay out of there. Thor never had the choice.
Yeah, his dad kicked him out.
And Aquaman, I think he was more or less, you know, trying to save the surface. He was never really trying to prove anything to anybody. He just wanted the chance to essentially avenge his mom. So right. That's where I'm like, I'm losing you on the fact where you're trying to like compare it in the nature of the stories necessarily. I see what you mean when you're saying like lighting and tones and stuff like that. It is very bright and vibrant and stuff, just like Thor Ragnarok was. But I think story wise, I have like, that's where I'm like disconnecting, because there's just so many like differences and like things like that where I just can't quite draw that comparison myself, right. You know what I mean? Like, if that's what you're getting from it, that's fine. But
no, I mean, it's just kind of like comparing two unlike things and like drawing their similarities, you know? Mm-hmm. Because like, yeah, there are a lot of differences, but when like there's like a sequence in Aquaman where like pretty much he like they're in the like the desert or whatever, and then they go underground, and like one of like the things is like, oh, you know you need to prove you're worthy to get the trident,
right?
Which you know, a lot of people on the surface are going to say, oh, it's like Thor, he has to prove he's worthy to get Mjolnir and go back home,
right? Yeah, okay.
But you know, that's where it ends.
Right,
like,
yeah.
That's where it ends. Like, it's just that small comparison. You're like, oh, okay. But then, you know, like everything, it's nothing like Thor like overall. But
yeah, I think this movie completely stands alone. And, like, what it did and, like, what it, you know, accomplished and everything like that. Like, I think it was brilliant.
Yeah. So, I don't think you agree with me, but one of the things I have an issue with is that he just lets Black Manta's dad die. Like, to me, that's not really what heroes do. And sure, maybe he's not, like, quote-unquote, like, a full established hero yet. But just as, like, a morally good person, which Aquaman should be, like, you just don't let someone
die. But he's, like, morally gray-lined through the movie. And you even know that in BVS as well. Because he necessarily didn't really want to help Batman at first. You know,
Justice League.
Justice League, sorry. And, you know, he's like, I really don't care. But then, you know, he kind of like convinces him and stuff like that. But it's like, you know, he doesn't really like, you know, you get the sense that he's very out for himself, you know, like he doesn't really care about too much, like other than his dad and like his mom.
I don't think so, because like the whole thing is like he goes to that submarine to save the people working on the boat, not for himself. He doesn't do that for himself.
Right.
Like he does it to help them, you know, and like as someone who's going out of your way to help other people.
But you think about it as bad guys, okay? Think about any other film. See, I knew this particular discussion was going to come up, so I came prepared.
Okay.
So what you're saying is it's morally ungrade to, like, let somebody die or kill somebody, right?
I'm just saying, like...
So how do you feel about the sequence in Thor Ragnarok when Thor and Loki are side-by-side with the Gatling gun mowing down the soldiers? Killing them,
the Asgardians?
Yeah, they kill those people.
No,
not the Asgardians when they're trying to escape from that planet.
Oh.
Nowhere?
Okay.
Or what is that? What it's called? Nowhere?
Yeah.
Or yeah, I forget.
No. Scarif.
Oh yeah, Scarif.
Yeah.
But
no, not Scarif. That's Star Wars.
Oh my god.
What the fuck? It's
I even agreed with you.
Sakaar. Sorry.
There we go.
My
bad. I was
bad.
Like Scarif. I was like, that sounds. Familiar.
That's in Rogue One. Sorry.
Yeah.
So many planets, guys.
See what I mean? It's like it's not like super uncommon for them to like, you know, actually kill other beings.
Yeah, but when you have the opportunity to save one and you choose not to, well, like sure they're the architects of their own demise, but like he right. could have saved him, and then he even addresses at the like towards the end of the movie,
right.
which I would have liked, except he didn't say I wish I would have saved him because it's the right thing to do. He says I wish I would have saved him so his son wouldn't have tried to hurt you, Mara. Like I regret it because you could have been hurt. Instead of I regret it because I let someone die that I could have saved, which would have been like a fuller hero story arc, you know? Like that's my only gripe with it. You know, it's not a big deal. Like it doesn't really like make me think I can't watch this movie because of that one part, you know?
Right.
It's to me just like kind of like a flimsy.
I can really like understand though. Like I can understand how it bugs people. But it just it does not bug me. Like right. I'm just like, well, they deserved it, really.
Like, right.
Like they're sitting there fucking like, you know, pirating and fucking, they're bad people. I mean, doesn't mean anybody should die.
So
or you should.
So you don't have a problem with Superman killing Zod?
Come on, that is totally different, dude. He didn't kill him. He just left him there.
Yeah. But Zod was going to kill people if Superman didn't snap his neck.
Right, dude, now you're getting me.
Oh, no. Okay. Moving on.
No, I didn't say making me mad. I said, okay, now you got me.
Oh, okay.
All right, well, how do I explain my way out of that one? Because well, I hated that.
It's because of who Superman is.
Yeah,
and
I think it's very different. And maybe I just don't have the same fundamental understanding of the Aquaman character. I don't know what kind of person he really is.
Yeah.
But I do, like, you know, have read some things of Aquaman. And, like, I don't ever really remember him being, like, overtly, like, justice. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
well, I mean,
like, I think it would be a very Superman thing to do to go ahead and pick that guy, like, save him, and then bring them both to jail or something like that. That would be a very Superman thing. But you have to remember, not every superhero is the same. Not every superhero is motivated the same way.
Right. Like, I think it's like the writers were like, hey, we need to make it so Black Manta and Aquaman have like this rivalry or like they hate each other kind of thing.
Right. And but like, it's like funny because like they borderline make a joke out of it a little bit, I feel like, in the writing, where it's just like Aquaman doesn't even know who he is.
And doesn't give a
and
shit
about he's like,
him.
Oh, yeah, you're the guy on the boat.
Yeah, but it's to me almost like flimsy motivation, but then like on the other end, it's almost like almost brilliant in the idea that it's like Arthur Curry, Aquaman created that villain, you know,
right.
like that aspect I like, but on the other side is like, you could have just saved the guy, you know?
Right. Yeah, no, I totally agree. And I think, you know, I think I agree with you on the spectrum that, that he created the villain. I think that's like beautiful art right there, you know? And I do disagree, you know, with the complaint in general. Like, I'm not saying that it's like a bad thing. You know, I get like, you know, that's your gripe with it. Not exactly my gripe though.
Yeah.
I think my gripe is some of the acting that they were obviously told to do. And like some of like the action sequences in the very beginning of the movie. Cause like, that's one thing too. It's like your fighting scenes and stuff. I hate when you can tell that they're overly choreographed, you know?
Yeah.
And that's one thing that they did kind of take from Marvel is like the whole action sequences and like how the, you know, but it was only with his mom though, in the beginning when the Atlanteans come to get her and they're attacking the lighthouse.
Yeah.
And, she's just like, you know, she's like, oh, boom, boom, hit like punch, kick, punch, knock this person out. Superhero stance, pan out, circle around. She gets attacked. She goes, hits that person, you know, and that's very like reminiscent of kind of like what Marvel was doing, you know, but I feel like it was a little less successful. Like, it didn't look good the way that they were
doing. You could almost, like, all you're missing is, like, the director in the background saying 1, 2, 3, 4, and then, like, someone else saying, all right, cue. Like, that's all you're missing. Like, that's what it seemed like, and they just, like, cut that out.
But I'm so glad that they decided not to do that so much in the rest of the movie. Yeah. Like, the rest of the fight sequences were great. The, you know, the animation and the CGI was fucking phenomenal. Jesus, dude, so good, dude.
Yeah, the Aquaman Marikis in the water.
Oh, dude, I thought that was so good. Like, you kind of see it coming, but like, it wasn't like overly forced. Like, it was a good timing for it, and then, like, you know, all like the explosions around them made it feel magical. Like, yeah, they're like in the midst of a war, and you know, they're still like finding this time to love each other,
right?
And it's quite, you know, it's quite inspiring. Very,
yeah, I mean,
very good. And I love their love story in the movie. You can tell they're immediately drawn to each other, and I think it's brilliant.
Comic book wise, I'm a big fan of Mera and Black Manta. Not so much Ocean Master, to be honest. But in this movie, I'm a big fan of Ocean Master. I thought the actor did a great job, and
yeah,
I thought that,
I don't know his name, but the guy that played King Orm, oh, yeah, fuck, dude, he was so good, dude.
And I thought Mera was really good as well. Black Manta, though,
I thought it was poor.
Yeah. He wasn't great in this movie. Which brings us... go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I don't think it was necessarily the actor. I think it was the writing for the character. I just don't necessarily like the direction. They kind of like... You know, he makes sense. He's like a weaker, lesser villain in order to like, you know, kind of push like our main villain forward, you know?
Right. Like, he's just like a... there, kind of, you know, like, right. They're like, we need to do Black Manta because Black Manta is a huge part of Aquaman, so how are we going to put him in this movie? So they just kind of like, you know, he works for the story. He's to me like Scarecrow, right? Scarecrow's never a villain that's going to carry a Batman movie as a villain. Like,
right,
he's just a plot device villain. He's used to push the story forward so we can get to the real juice. You know,
exactly.
Which brings us to one thing we both have a little bit of an issue with, which is like post credit scene where like he's, like, on a piece of driftwood. Where the fuck did this wood come from?
So, when they're in Italy during that whole, like, chase down battle scene and fucking, like, he gets knocked off a cliff into, like, the fucking ocean with nothing but rocks around it, where the fuck did this piece of driftwood come from? I'm so confused.
When there's, like, people on driftwood in, like, pirate movies, it's because their ship has been destroyed and there's wood from the ship. This guy was thrown off a rocky cliff with concrete. Like, that's it. So, like, I mean just
unless
magically
if I, like, I missed, like, the initial blast to, like, knock him off the mountain or whatever, if there's, like, a piece of, like, something that got destroyed and there's wood that fell into the ocean... that's the only thing I can really think of, but I think it was just, like, really random. Post-credits scene, I was like, okay, that was so forced, and what the fuck was that?
Yeah, I mean, again, you know, it's, like, not a huge thing, right?
Right.
Not a big deal. Another thing that I wouldn't say it's a big deal, but it's, like, something we definitely want more of, is, like, they fail kind of to explain the special powers of certain Atlanteans and stuff.
Yeah, they did a very poor job of that. You know, obviously, Mera can manipulate the actual water, you know, like as if she's a water bender of some sort, which it doesn't seem like anybody else can do that. And then you have Arthur, he can, you know, speak to the animals without the trident, and then the trident expands his powers. You kind of get the maybe explanation of it, of that he is the worthy king,
right,
of Atlantis, kind of thing, to unite all, you know, land and sea sort of thing. But it still doesn't explain how he has the powers, you know what I mean?
Right, like, again...
Like, there's no definite explanation of it, and it's very confusing.
Yeah, because, like, he's born, right? But he's not the king, like... And, like, is it, like, this kind of idea that they don't explain, but, like, that... Yeah, he is inherently special. He has, quote-unquote, king's blood, so he can talk to animals. But if that's true, Orm has king's blood, too. Right. But he can't talk to the sea creatures. Like, so what, like, there's something, like, which I know you, like, you mentioned earlier is, like, kind of like you think is lazy writing, is like, it's just an inherent thing.
Just
an inherent, a special person, right?
Right.
And like, Aquaman is inherently special because his name's in the title, so he can talk to animals, which, you know, is like, you know, I know there's people that are going to listen to this that have read a lot of comic books, and they're going to say, yeah, but in the comic books, which is great. But a lot of people who watch this movie haven't read comic books, and this movie can only be judged on what it is, not what the comic books tell us, right?
Right, not the context of which it comes from.
Yeah, like, you guys can get a lot more out of it having read the comic books. Like, people who've, like, read comic books get a lot more out of these movies than people who haven't. That's for sure. But
right.
If the movie can't stand on its own, then it's pointless.
Yeah, know? It's poor writing.
Right.
Another thing that annoyed me, right, is, so obviously that whole conversation, just real quick, applies to Mara's powers as well.
Right.
So we need to reiterate that. So another thing that annoys me is they overly played to Jason Momoa's sexiness.
Oh yeah.
I think it was a little overdone the way he dropped into the ship and he's like, permission to come aboard. And you know, and I think it was funny,
like James Bond,
but like I was just like, was it overdone, the whole over the shoulder look he did trying to make him look sexy? And he has like this certain kind of swagger to him, which I love the swagger throughout the movie, but I feel like there's certain scenes that they're trying to overplay his like sexiness and stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I'm like, yeah, I get it, you know, he is a great sexy looking guy, you know, and it is what it is, but you know, and he's eye candy for so many people, but it's like, it felt like it was very overdone,
right,
in a lot of things. How did you kind of take that?
I mean, as a heterosexual male,
right.
I mean, I think it's fine. Like, I think it's like it to no. me, like having him be like that sexy kind of creature,
right.
You know, is like, sure, it's overplayed. But at the same time, it's like, to me, it makes him just like that much cooler.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I guess you could see that. And by the way, it's nothing to do, just so I can explain this to our audience, nothing to do with gay phobia or anything like that. I have no problem with anybody
right.
that is, you know, however you want to label it, homosexual, gay, you know, you swing on a different guy's branch, whatever you want to say. you know, that is nothing to it. But I just think, it was like I guess they just knew what they had, and I felt like they overplayed it just a little bit, just a tad bit, you know what I mean? But it's such a minuscule complaint about the movie,
yeah,
that it's not even important. But I do just
well,
just
you
want
can
to bring
you
it
know
up.
You can say like the same thing about like even like the scene where like he's at the bar with his dad.
I actually love that scene. I actually was
scene.
Just thinking about that as I'm like talking about what I was just talking about. I was like thinking about it. I was like.
Yeah, but even then, he has, like, this swagger, you know, like...
Oh, no, I love the swagger he carries. Don't get me wrong. I love the swagger he carries. It's just those certain instances when they're almost doing an action pose of how sexy he is.
Like, the direction of the... Like, the director is, like, telling him, like, oh, you need to, like, do this, like, wink at the camera
kind
of thing.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm talking about. I'm sorry if I wasn't clear about that, you know, to our listeners.
Yeah, because he's just naturally, you know, very a sexy man, so
right.
It's like...
You don't have to do
much. You don't have to tone down his sexiness, just don't overdo it.
Don't fucking shine the spotlight on him 24/7.
Make it like corny kind
of. Yeah,
like,
that's how it kind of felt. It wasn't like a knock of like, oh, you guys shouldn't be acting this way. I'm just saying, it's in a way it seemed a little corny. I think that's a great word, a great expression of. It was like if they just would have toned it down just a little, just a tiny bit. Maybe not some of them action scenes where it's like, hey, here's the model pose. Here's the model pose. Here's the model pose. Here's the model pose.
Yeah. But like,
you know?
If you guys made it a little less GQ photo shoot and a little more superhero movie, that'd be cool.
You know, hey, and I have no problem with it. I have no problem, you know, expressing that he is a great, sexy looking guy, man.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I'm a heterosexual male. I'm comfortable with my sexuality. I just want that to be known. All right, everyone, that, you know, I'm not a homophobic or anything. I just really want to express that that's not what I'm trying to express of, like, my complaint.
Yeah.
You know, I just think it was a little, it almost made
he
it a
made
little
He made me
corny.
Feel insecure about my sexuality.
No, I have to care less, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But that bar scene, though, I thought that was so good. I just think it was the perfect mix of the modern age, you know? It was a way to bring us and tie us into our own world.
Yeah.
Of how our everyday lives are, how everyone is. Everybody, everywhere you go to a restaurant, you see people taking selfies. Go to the theater, you see people taking selfies. Christian. You know,
what?
You see what? I didn't what? What? you know, you Instagram videos, all these Snapchat, all these things. and these guys totally like fangirling over Aquaman because they know that he's Aquaman.
And I love the perspective too, like the perspective of Arthur, who like is sitting there, and these tough guys come up to him, and he's, and like you're watching thinking, they're gonna want to fight, right?
That's exactly
like
what I thought.
And I think that's like what a lot of celebrities feel like, is when people approach them, it's like, oh god damn it. You know, yeah, like what the fuck now? And like, you know, and then they're like, can we get a selfie? And like the selfies are just hilarious pictures too.
Well, see, the funny thing is, right, but I think that at this, on the same nature, it was an accidental plot hole. Think about it. It was an accidental plot hole, because how does a selfie like that not go unnoticed on, you know, Snapchat, social media, Instagram, Facebook, wherever they posted it to.
And how would they not have said, oh, it's Aquaman or whatever.
Right, exactly. You know? Unless that they distinctly just were taking pictures and like everybody in the town knows that that's Aquaman.
Yeah.
But it's like but then the mainstream media knows about Aquaman, but they don't know his identity. So how does that exactly work? I'm like kind of confused. I felt that it was a little bit of a plot hole.
And like even when they approach him, don't they say like, oh, you're that fish boy or something?
Yeah, right.
Like immediately condescending, like, you know, but.
But yeah. And I think that's like it was like, you know, perfect jabs at like the naysayers of Aquaman. The people that say, oh yeah, what a superhero. He can talk to fish. I think that was a perfect incognito insult that the film needed.
Yeah, and that's the brilliant thing is, like, people who read comic books, like, I've read a lot of Aquaman, know he's not, like, this one-dimensional, toxic-fish, boring, terrible character, right? Like, people who like Aquaman genuinely like him because, like, he's cool. And, like I'm not going to lie, like, I never read a lot of Aquaman because I didn't really care about Aquaman. I just like Mira. But, like, when I first played Injustice, I thought that Aquaman was fucking badass. Like, the moves and stuff they gave him. And that's, like, I know the game came out, like, 6 years ago or whatever.
Right.
But, like, that's when I started getting into Aquaman. It's, like, after I played that, I was like, oh, he's actually really fucking cool, you know?
Right. Yeah, I think, honestly, Jason Momoa just made Aquaman cool.
Yeah.
Most definitely. Like, the way he portrayed, he was perfect for the role, I think. And I was a little scared, you know? I was like, oh, maybe he doesn't look like him, you know? But he is, like, this super fucking built fucking brick house of a man.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Polynesian as well. So that directly plays into like Atlantean culture, you know, because Polynesians are very from what I understand, I don't know, but from what I understand, they're very like in tune with nature, and especially the sea,
yeah,
and stuff, I believe. You know, hey, you guys, correct me if I'm wrong on this, but you know, that's how I understand it with, you know, Polynesian culture and stuff. They're very in tune with, like, the sea and stuff like that.
Is he Polynesian or is he, like, New Zealand or, like, the islands off of New Zealand?
No, I think he's Polynesian.
I don't know. Because he does, like, the Haka. Like, he's, like, Manu Bennett, right? Manu Bennett is, like, from...
No. Manu Bennett's from, like, Australia, dude.
He's from somewhere off of New Zealand. Like, one of the island kind of things. Like, subcultures. So. I thought it was because the guy who plays his dad, Jango Fett, right?
Right.
Oh, he's from like New Zealand, from like one of those islands. So I didn't know Jason Momoa was supposed to be like. I think Jason Momoa is like purely American, but like his people come from there. I don't know, but it's like a subset of like a subculture. Of,
yeah,
like,
he's Polynesian. He's from Hawaii.
Oh, wicked!
Yeah, he's from Honolulu.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I don't know. All I could think of when I saw his dad was the line the line that always sticks out to me from Attack of the Clones is where he says, I'm just a simple man trying to make my way in the universe. I'm just waiting for him to say that the whole movie.
Dude, yeah. And how sad was like the love story between Arthur's mom and dad?
Yeah.
Like, you know, he's just waiting for her forever, you know.
Yeah, he always goes to the dock.
Oh man, it was just so heartbreaking and like you kinda expect it, right? When he goes into, what do they call it? The
trench?
The trench, right? Where the...
Oh, that's another thing you had a problem with, was the flares.
Yeah, I was going to talk about that. Yeah, so how... I mean, yeah, I guess, you like we said, you could draw conclusions all you want, but at the end of the day, unless if it's specifically identified and stuff, you can't make conclusions in films and writing and stuff. Because it just doesn't work that way, you know? Like, you can draw the comparison yourself, but, okay, that's that, you know? But you still have to acknowledge it's a you know, a plot hole, or it's a lack of, you know, good writing. How the hell did they know that fire was going to be harmful, or not exactly harmful, but scare those creatures?
Right.
Like the trench creatures and stuff. Like, he just instantly knew. They ran into the cabin. He seen the flares. Oh, they're from the trench. Fire is going to stop them.
Yeah, like they're from the depths of the light will hurt their eyes or something.
Yeah, exactly. But like,
anybody who knows, like, we can only draw from real world comparisons. Like, if you like watch any nature thing about the deep, every creature down there lights up in some way to like lure prey and stuff. Like, they're attracted to the light, not right. repelled by it. You know?
Right, exactly. So it's just like, didn't make a whole lot of sense in that nature. I thought the scene was badass, cool as hell, kind of intense. And then they you know, they make it into the hidden sea. Is that what they called it?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, and then, you know, his mom is there.
Yeah.
Which you kind of figure, yeah, right?
It's kind of
once
obvious.
You see, like, the portal, you're like, oh, I bet his mom is there.
Yeah. Well, the whole movie, when they say, she's in the trench, she's dead, I'm like, oh, she's in the trench alive.
Right. Like, and then, like, you know, eventually he's going to go to the trench at some point.
Right.
And then, you know, I thought that whole thing, that whole, like, last half of the movie was so bad fucking ass.
Yeah,
dude.
It was really cool.
Like, him talking to that sea creature was, like, intense. That whole island that they were at was super beautiful. Dude, props and kudos to the way they designed sets, the way they designed and CGI'd the shit out of this movie. You know, in a overly CGI'ing films and stuff, I mean, nothing really new, but like, if it's not the right type of CGI, it can definitely take you out of a film.
Right. It has to be blended well.
But this was blended perfectly. I think everything was so good about this film, dude.
Yeah.
And God, his armor, dude. Fuck.
Yeah, so good.
The trident looked sick. The fucking armor was phenomenal. And then, like, because you didn't see King Orm's, like, armor until, like, you know, the war had started under, you know, against the crustacean people or whatever. Yeah,
the crab people.
Yeah, Mr. Krabs. SpongeBob SquarePants.
rest in peace, creator of that show who died.
Right? Yeah, fuck, dude. 2018 sucked.
fuck you.
Took
but yeah.
Get away from us. Anywho. Yeah, that whole scene was cool. Armor. Sorry.
Yes,
I'm trying
yes.
to stay on track.
Ocean Master.
Yeah, Ocean Master. I was like, his armor doesn't really seem like that of an armor of a king, you know? And then you see fucking Aquaman's armor finally, and you're like, dude, it's so perfect. It's so amazing. Oh, my God. And they're like, dude, I wonder what, you know, Ocean Masters look like. And then you see his... And it's so cool.
Yeah, it's really good.
It's like bright silver and purple, dude, and it looks great, and it rivals that something of worthy of, you know, being a rival of Aquaman's right. and stuff. And I'm just like, so fantastic. So fantastic.
Yeah, you just wonder how Black Manta's going to come back after that ass-whooping he got.
Right. How is he going to be an actual threat for Aquaman?
It's also weird because they ran this like little subplot with like the Asian scientist guy who's like conspiracy theorist.
Right. Yeah.
He's just like on the news. Like, and I almost forgot about this subplot. Like, because it's just like weird. Like, it's just there. You know.
Right.
So it's like he's just like, oh yeah, Atlantis is real and all this stuff, and like they're attacking the surface and all this, and it's like very small part of the movie. But then like in the post-credit scene, he ends up picking up Black Manta and helping to like repair his. Like mask, and it's like, oh, is this Atlantean, you know, technology and stuff, which is pretty cool. So
right.
you know, it's like this movie, you know, you walk away from it thinking, yeah, Jason Momoa is 100% Aquaman,
100 percentiles,
and
that is definitely King Orm. That's definitely Mera.
Yeah,
Black Manta. That I think under some better writing, he would have been better.
Yeah. So I mean, yeah, there's.
I just think they weren't quite sure how to write him better.
Right. I think they just wanted to put him in the movie, and like instead of like making a real character, they just kind of like made him a plot device to help
right.
move the story forward, which, you know, is fine. But he served his purpose. But overall, this movie was not bad. You know, it's not a normal what you'd expect from a DC movie, which maybe helps it a little bit. You know, we talked about, you know, after the movie, me and Scott talked briefly, and we're saying, you know, like maybe because we have such low expectations, it makes us
right,
like
yeah.
the movie better, like kind of like with Venom and stuff. But still, I don't think that it makes it that much better. I just think this movie kind of stands on its own and does something different than DC movies do.
Right, it was a different direction. I think it was something in the right direction.
Yeah, it's a breath of fresh air. It's refreshing.
It makes me so fucking excited for Shazam.
Yeah, I think Shazam will continue this.
I think they're going to take Aquaman, they're going to keep going with it, and hopefully they continue. And see, I think that's something that they've really struggled with so far, is like their villainry has been so bad too.
Yeah.
Like, it's been like so underwhelming. And just a side note, we're going to, at some point, we want to readdress Wonder Woman, because I think we both have now realized that we've misjudged that movie.
I think
we've allowed Gal Gadot to pull the sheet over our eyes and miss a lot of the problems with that movie. And I don't think the movie was actually as good as we initially thought.
Yeah. I mean, that being said, it's not terrible.
It's still, by no means is it terrible, but I think, you know, rethinking about it and wanting to rewatch it, I think it will probably get a lower grade.
Yeah. It's definitely not like, initially we had it as one of like the best comic book movies ever.
Yeah, no.
I don't even think it's in the top 10, maybe. Maybe top 5. Maybe not in top 5, but it's still probably not in top 10. We'll see. We'll see when we readdress it. But, Aquaman, again, is just something that's more refreshing. It's just something more enjoyable than what DC has given us. And, you know, I saw, like, some discussion about Orm as a villain, too. Like, some people are like, is he a villain or is he an anti-hero? He is 100% a villain.
100%. Like, how is that even a question? How is that even a question?
Like, people are trying to say because, like, his motivations, like, and stuff.
His motivations is to kill the land people.
Yeah, well, they're trying to say, like, oh, his motivation is just to, like, you know, have you, like, bring United or Atlantis back to, like, Atlantis, whatever.
No, he directly wants to rule over the world.
Exactly, right?
What are you guys talking? It's so dumb, dude. It doesn't even make sense.
And then people are, like, trying to say, oh, he's, like, Killmonger and stuff. Like, Again, Killmonger is not an anti-hero. He is a villain. Like,
well, I guess he kind of is a lot like Killmonger, if you think about it, but still. No.
Right. Just because you can understand his motivations, it makes him a better villain. It doesn't make him less of a villain.
Right.
It
does not make him an anti-hero. An anti-hero is Deadpool.
Yeah. Or what they're trying to do with Venom now over at Sony.
Yes.
Like, that's anti-hero. Not, like, even Wolverine is kind of considered an anti-hero. Like, I don't know. Whatever. You guys can discuss what you want. But anyway, should we rate the movie?
Go ahead. You go first.
This movie gets a... Are we doing letters or...
We can do both.
Out of 10.
Both.
I'm going to give it a 8.0, a B minus.
So low.
Is that low?
Yeah.
I think it's fair.
I think, okay. Well, we'll discuss something later. I would give it a... I'm trying to think about this objectively. Or whatever. Number grade. It's difficult. I think this one is really hard to judge because, like, a lot of the gripes are so minor. It's like, so it's like how much points and stuff do you take off of such minor gripes, you know? Things that are so, like, very meh, like, doesn't really matter. Didn't change anything even if you take them out, you know? It makes it more enjoyable personally for myself, I guess, but I'm trying to think. And give it a 9.
Okay.
An A. So an A minus, technically.
Yeah. The way I try to think of it is, like, a 10 is, like, excellent, like, perfect, right?
Right.
Like, 9 to 9.9 is, like, great. Like, really, really fucking good. And, like, 8 to 8.9 is, like, good.
Right.
And then, like, 7.9 to 7 is, like, average. And anything else is just kind of, like, various forms of bad.
Right.
So, to me, this movie was you know, well above average, but it wasn't, like, a great, phenomenal, amazing movie.
Right, no.
I'll give it an 8.3.
An 8.3.
A B.
That's all right, I'll give it an 8.7 then.
Okay.
I'll come down a little.
B plus, yeah.
B plus, strong B plus.
That's an average of an 8.5 from the Nerdy Boys.
But yes. Yeah. I think that's fair grades. I love this movie. You guys definitely need to go check it out. Judge it for yourself.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of hate. Again, don't believe all the hate. Make your own opinion.
And don't believe all the hype either. Like I said, right. Make your own opinion.
Yeah, if you guys don't agree with us, that's cool.
It's called
you don't
free
have to
thinking.
Agree with us. Yeah. We're not going to force you to agree with us. So
right. We're here merely to have the nerd discussions that you have with your local buddies.
Yeah.
You know, with, you know, you go to, you know, if you play Magic the Gathering, you go to F&M, you know, Friday Night Magic, and then you have these discussions with your friends. And, you know, you go to the movies and you discuss for 3 hours with your buddies.
Yeah.
You know, and we're just merely here to establish a conversation for you guys. You know, we're the talking points.
Indeed. Indubitably.
Indubitably.
Yeah.
So. All right, guys. Well, that's all we have for you guys on Aquaman. If you guys, you know, liked or, you know, disliked the podcast, let us know. Let us know what you guys think. Write and subscribe and write us a review on iTunes or wherever you find our podcast. We'd greatly appreciate good or bad. You know, the bad helps us improve and the good lets us know what we're doing right.
Yeah.
You know, also, if you guys do disagree or just want to have a good conversation about some nerd topics like Aquaman, feel free to hit us up. All of our social medias can be found on nerdyboys.com, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And you can contact us there, or there's an email us link on the website. So, yeah, get in contact with us. We would love to have a chat with you guys.
Indeed.
That's all we have for you guys on Aquaman. And as we have stated before, there's two other podcasts coming along with this podcast as well. It is the 2018 Looking Forward to 2019 podcast and Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse podcast as well. So stay on the lookout for that and let us know what you guys think. We love you guys. As always, we are your host. I'm Nerdy Boy Scott.
And I'm Nerdy Boy Christian.
Here at NBR, we always leave you with one simple message, and that's stay nerdy, boys.